English Hedgerow delivers distinctive bouquets, plants, and gift baskets throughout the Champaign-Urbana area.
It's 12:38. Light snow flurries are possible across the Midwest today as an upper-level trough tracks across the region. Greater precipitation chances are expected farther south across Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky as a low-pressure system moves across the southeastern U.S. By tomorrow, high pressure will build into the central United States, bringing much colder temperatures to the area through midweek. The weather across Illinois will remain mostly dry for the rest of the week. High temperatures today will range from the low teens across central Iowa to the mid-30s across western Kentucky. Low temperatures overnight tonight will range from the single digits below zero across central Iowa to the low 20s across western Kentucky. The Weather Service forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a high around 30. A wind from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and colder with a low of 7 and a northwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and bitterly cold with a high in the low teens. The wind will continue out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wind chill readings ranging from 2 below 0 to 12 below 0 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, look for a low of 4 and a west wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour with wind chill readings from 2 below to 12 below 0. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high of 14 and wind chill readings from 2 below to 12 below 0. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 0. Thursday, sunny, not quite so cold with a high in the upper teens. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 10. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 20s to the low 30s. At Rockford, flurries were reported 28 degrees. Chicago's O'Hare Airport, 30 degrees. Bloomington Normal, 28. Mattoon, 31. Carbondale, 33. At South Bend, Lafayette, and Indianapolis, 31 degrees. Evansville checked in with 34 degrees and light snow. Willard Airport reported mostly sunny skies at the top of the hour. The temperature 30. The dew point 23. The relative humidity 75%. The wind out of the north at 10 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill of 21. The barometric pressure 29.99 and falling. And at 12:40, 30 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois under mostly sunny skies. A bill meant to get more tax revenue from online retailers is on Governor Pat Quinn's desk. It's a measure the governor probably would not be considering if people paid more attention to paying the state use tax. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows explains.
If you aren't paying the state use tax, well, you probably should be. That's the tax Illinois charges the buyer when the seller doesn't charge the state sales tax on purchases. And that happens on a lot of sales from out-of-state retailers, including the growing online retail sector. For those purchases, we're all supposed to fill out an ST-44 form and send in the use tax to the Illinois Department of Revenue. Department spokeswoman Sue Hofer says the state collects about $5 to $6 million a year from the tax. With big items, as well as sales to businesses, the state has ways to keep track, but not so much on small retail items like clothing or books. Hofer says an estimated $150 million in use tax revenue wasn't collected last year.
We think that most people in Illinois weren't even aware that they owed a use tax when they bought an item, and this is not a new issue.
The whole process would be easier for the state if it could require out-of-state sellers to charge sales tax like stores within the state do. But a 1992 U.S. Supreme Court ruling says out-of-state merchants only owe state sales tax if they have a physical presence in the state, like a store or an office building. Lots of big online sellers have this presence, and they charge shoppers the state sales tax. But two of the biggest web retailers, Amazon and Overstock.com, and lots more of the smallest ones, avoid the state sales tax because they don't have facilities in Illinois. Rob Carr of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association calls that unfair.
It's frankly ridiculous to think that a Main Street retailer should be put at a 6.25% disadvantage right off the bat because they're required to collect a sales tax and someone else is not.
Carr's group supports the bill now on the governor's desk to set up what's been dubbed the Amazon tax in other states. Under the measure, if an Illinois business puts a link to an out-of-state seller like Amazon on its website and then receives a commission for every referred sale, that would constitute a presence in the state, requiring the out-of-state retailer to collect sales tax for everything it sells to Illinoisans. But while the Illinois Retail Merchants Association likes this approach, a group representing online sellers says the measure won't hold up in court or in practice. Jeff DelBianco is with the e-commerce group NetChoice.
That's not going to fly. The courts won't support it. And worse still, the big out-of-state retailers will just cancel their advertising programs. And therefore, no new revenue makes it to Illinois.
And DelBianco says some Illinois businesses would lose money, too, when they lose the affiliate relationships they currently have with Amazon and other big out-of-state online sellers. He says that happened when Amazon tax laws passed in Rhode Island, North Carolina, and Colorado, although it didn't happen in New York State, where the law is being challenged in court. The whole thing worries Tim Storm, the CEO of FatWallet.com, a shopping website based in Rockton, Illinois. Storm says affiliate relationships with Amazon and other online retailers account for 30% to 40% of his revenue. And if the legislation becomes law, he'll move his business and its 52 jobs out of Illinois.
We're prepared to relocate out of the state if that's what is necessary. That's not our plan A. Our plan A is to be able to get Quint and veto the bill. And we're not in differing opinion. Illinois should be collecting sales tax. It's how they're going about doing it. This is not the right way.
There's another alternative, passing laws in the federal level for uniform or streamlined state sales taxes across the nation. Both Carr of the Retail Merchants Association and DelBianco of NetChoice say this would smooth out the differences between state tax laws and allow states to collect sales tax revenue from out-of-state sellers. But after 11 years, only 22 states have signed on to a streamlined sales and use tax agreement to encourage passage of such a law, and Illinois is not among them. While the governor mulls over the so-called Amazon tax legislation, Illinois is trying to reach out to taxpayers who haven't been filing their ST-44s. This year, for the first time, the Illinois 1040 state income tax form includes a line for paying the use tax. And there's even a table for figuring out an estimated payment if you haven't saved all your receipts. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
The popular uprisings in Tunisia and Egypt are affecting the tourism industries in both countries. Tunisia, which succeeded in overthrowing its dictator 3 weeks ago, is assessing the damage. With its sandy beaches and Roman ruins, Tunisia ranks among the world's top 40 tourist destinations. The revolution, however, chased tourists away, but many Tunisians believe they will return in bigger numbers. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports.
Though February might not be high season, the Roman amphitheater in the ancient city of Carthage is always full of tourists. But today, in spite of the warming sun, there's not a soul except for the birds. Tourist taxi driver Dali Murad stands beside the empty ticket booths.
I've never seen it empty like this, because even in the winter we have the cruise ships that dock here and the Roman theater is always crowded. I'm really worried about things.
Tunisia, a westernized and moderately well-off Arab nation, was a big holiday destination for Europeans, especially the French. About 7 million tourists visited Tunisia under the dictatorship every year. Their business accounted for 7% of Tunisia's GDP and provided nearly 500,000 jobs in a country of 10 million people. But today, the picturesque seaside village of Sidi Bou Said is packed with locals and a popular boardwalk along the Mediterranean that has long been an upscale promenade for tourists and high society Tunisians is deserted, except for a sheep grazing on some grass shooting through cracks in the sidewalk. Economist Mahmoud Ben Ramdan says the big test will be in the coming weeks.
We are in a crucial period and we need to establish calm situation in order to benefit from bookings for the high season that is taking place in June, July and August.
On the beach at the middle-class seaside resort of La Goulette, local fisherman Tommy Amour stands in the surf next to his colorful skiff. He shows off a bucket of giant calamari he's just pulled out of the turquoise sea. He says everything is getting back to normal. The media talked too much about everything, he says, but these are our problems to work out and the tourists don't have anything to worry about. Just off the beach, the Hotel Lido is at 20% occupancy. Hotel director Yassine Belkhoja sits forlornly on a couch in the empty lobby watching the Egyptian revolution unfold on TV. But when he thinks of his own country, a tear runs down his cheek.
We're a great and old civilization. We didn't deserve to have a president like that. We gave Ben Ali all our confidence, and we never thought it would finish like this.
Back in downtown Tunis, travel agency director Monsef Smaoui isn't so down about things. Yes, the revolution interrupted tourism, he says, but it was mostly peaceful and the whole world was watching.
The name of Tunisia has been over the world well known now. And I think we will have good chances to start again a new perspective for the future.
Smaoui says his friendly and open country drew tons of tourists, even when it had a dictator. So imagine, he says, Tunisia's prospects as a democracy. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Carthage, Tunisia.
Support comes from Subaru of Champaign County, located on Route 45 in Savoy. Dedicated to preserving our planet, the Subaru Assembly Plant in Lafayette, Indiana, achieved zero landfill status, with nothing from its manufacturing efforts going into a landfill. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. SubaruofChampaign.com or 352-4700.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 7th of February, 2011. It's the birthday of Laura Ingalls Wilder, Pepin, Wisconsin, 1867, gave us the Little House books. Charles Dickens, born Portsmouth, England, 1812.